Now reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, I invite you to stand. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, and your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. You have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. All and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled." You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, bless the hearing, pondering of your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Have you ever had someone say that they're praying for you? Most likely. I sure hope so. Maybe it was a grandma or a grandpa. Could have been anybody in your family. Could have been an uncle, an aunt. Might have been a friend. Maybe it was someone from Sunday school, or maybe it was your pastor or something like that. Maybe it was a prayer chain, even. Maybe it was a Christian from another church. Maybe you are the one who said, I'll pray for you, or I'm going to pray for you. Jesus prayed. He prayed to his heavenly Father. He prayed several things, as we heard just read in John 17. But especially he prayed for unity, he prayed for protection, he prayed for sanctification. Sanctification means to make holy or to keep holy. Would it surprise you to hear that Jesus has prayed for you? Jesus prayed for believers, those who believe and those who, quote, who will believe, end quote. Verse 20. Jesus prayed and prays for you. Seems like a funny way to say it, doesn't it? To talk about it. But he does. And he does for all believers to his Heavenly Father. He is the one who paid the debt that we couldn't pay. The debt for our sins by his precious blood. Jesus said, "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours." And one of the things he has mentioned here that he prayed for was his believers' protection. Protection. He said in verses 11 and 12, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me." And Jesus prayed for the first disciples and for us. Have this, the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Jesus prayed for our protection from Satan, the devil, whom Peter said prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We don't exactly see lions around here much. We see them in zoos typically. And if you were inside that cage with that animal, you probably would be pretty fearful. They pick one of the most ferocious animals to speak about what Satan's like. He can be quiet, he can be sneaky, and he can be very powerful. The world hates Christians because it hated Jesus and his word. It's just the way it is. Followers of Jesus are in the world, but not of it. That is why Jesus prayed for his disciples' protection and also for ours. Through Jesus' sinless life, his innocent death and the cross and his resurrection, God answered prayer. Jesus was glorified and believers in him spiritually protected. You think you need a bodyguard? Maybe not. You need a soul guard, though. You need a Holy Spirit protector. The time is after the resurrection of Jesus, and it's in Jerusalem, and they were staying in the upper room. This is in Acts. The 11 disciples and the apostles were there too. Others were with them. Quote, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Verse 14. Did you hear how often they prayed? Constantly. This was a serious, serious thing they were doing, praying. Jesus, earlier in the chapter, told them to go in to Jerusalem and wait. He said in a few days he'd send the Holy Spirit. Or do you know, they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they waited. A few verses later, and maybe a few days later, it says in the following verses, that there were 120 believers together, and Peter is addressing them. 120 believers. To fulfill a prophecy from the Psalms, they needed to have someone take Jesus' place. And someone who had been with them from the beginning, ever since John's baptism. So you know what they did? They had two men in mind. They narrowed it down to two men. And you know what they did? They prayed. They prayed for God to show them which man he wanted to fill the open spot. So they cast lots after that. First they prayed, then they cast lots. And they trusted God instead of voting. Not a bad model. Something to consider. They prayed, and God answered. And the lot fell to Matthias, and he became one of the 12. Peter wrote in his first letter, and I'm going to get something over here. Peter wrote in his first letter, humble yourselves, therefore. Well, first he said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. That's verses 12 and 13 of 1 Peter 4. He wrote that if you are insulted or suffer because of Jesus, you are blessed. That's what Jesus says. We are blessed as well. He said that in the Sermon on the Mount. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, and cast all your anxiety on him. You know what that's talking about? When you cast all your anxiety on God, and when you humble yourself before him, you are able to come to God in prayer. Because we're being humble, and because we are allowing God to show us that we need him, and that he answers prayer. Jesus said that we are in the world, but we're not of it. We know that when you look around and when you look at the media, you look at the news, or you experience sin in your lives. The world is an enemy of God, and Satan is the enemy of God, and it's only natural because we are living in a supernatural reality. The world hates and persecutes Christians, and God calls us to prayer. Jesus prayed. We certainly ought to pray. I need to do a better job at that by humbling myself and taking time to pray. God calls us to it. Martin Luther lived over 500 years ago, in 1500 years after the Apostle Peter, Martin Luther prayed for protection too. This is one of the prayers that he prayed, and it's in the Small Catechism. It's a morning prayer. He says this: I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We could find all kinds of examples of people who would certainly welcome prayer from us. Jesus prayed, and he calls us to pray too, to humble ourselves before him, and to cast our anxiety on him. If you were to ask persecuted Christians in the world, what is it that they want us to pray for? And this has been done, I've read it in Voice of the Martyrs and other places. They ask us to pray for their spiritual protection. They know they're living in a dangerous territory. They ask that we pray that they remain faithful. Just as Jesus prayed, and Peter and the apostles and Martin Luther, I pray that we too can pray for God's grace to humble ourselves before him and come to him in prayer. We can pray for protection. Let's pray that. Lord God, we lift up to you people who belong to you, God, and we pray for their spiritual protection. We know also, God, at times you provide other protections too. We pray for that as well. Lord, we know that the devil roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Father, help us to be humble before you. Help us to come to you in prayer, especially praying for spiritual protection for us and our family and our congregation and our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. The Benham brothers, in this book called Living Among Lions, he lifts up a couple things about prayer I'm going to read to you. He says, prayer is a two-way conversation to connect and communicate with our Father. It's not about getting things from God. It's about getting to God and experiencing intimacy with him. The second thing is this: we're to focus not on getting answers to our prayers, but on growing with the God who answers them. Lord God, we praise you and lift up these things we've read and talked about. We pray for your protection spiritually, Lord, and that we would joyfully live in you and in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.